Well, as many of you know, I had the privilege this last summer of leading a missions trip. The idea of the missions trip was to go to St. John's, Newfoundland. We didn't make it quite that far. We did go east, but we ended up in Montreal, Quebec. We had tons of flight cancellations, tons of disruptions, and it felt like, man, are we ever going to get home? And we were going to fly back on a Sunday morning at about 3 a.m., and I wake up and I check my phone. And after a good week of ministry, we got plugged into a church, which I'm very thankful for. And I checked my phone, and our flight had been canceled yet again. And so I wake up and I tell the team, "Hey guys, we're not going. We're not going home yet. Don't worry about packing. It's early. Why don't you guys all go back to bed and let's wake up in a couple hours and let's see what Air Canada's got for us, and we'll go from there." And I wake up and I see somebody on the team, and I tell them, "Hey, flight's been canceled. Can you go tell the rest of the girls on the team, don't worry about packing, go back to bed?" She looked at me and said, "Sam, you're not funny, no," and walked away. And I was like, what? What happened there? The truth is, she didn't believe me, because we've had all these cancellations, and she thought, there's no way there could be another. There's no way. How on earth did that happen? Well, it did happen, and that's a true story. But why do I share that this morning? Well, I empathize a lot with her, because I think it's increasingly harder to know who and what to trust in our culture today. What images are real or not? I don't know about you, but I've gotten lured in with some AI images as of recently. What videos are real versus not? And so the question to be asking is not, do you have faith, but rather, where and what do you put your faith in? As we continue this morning in our summer series on faith, this morning we're going to learn about Abel. Now, if you know the story of Cain and Abel, you know it's about a brother killing his brother. I do not know who planned that on Youth Sunday, but here we are. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 4. We're going to work through that so we have the context of what we're working with. Then we're going to go over to Hebrews 11, which is where our summer series is, and we'll go from there. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you do. You can open them with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought to the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it.' Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." This is the first murder in human history. Cain striking, killing his brother. It's a terribly sad story for us. Why talk about this morning? Well, Hebrews 11 is going to walk us through people who were faithful to God, who lived in a deep trust for the Lord. But as I was working through this sermon, I thought, man, isn't that a big need for us in today's culture? To be encouraged by men and women who have been faithful to Christ. They haven't wavered, haven't gone astray. They're loyal to God. We can all think of that headline, that person in our life, the scandal, the shock of a believer we thought was strong and committed. It turned out they weren't living in faithfulness to God. Faith and lack of trust in people is at an all-time low, even in the church. Recently, I just saw the stat that in 1985, 70% of people would say that they trusted that their pastor was somebody who they could believe was honest, ethical, that they were trustworthy. And now in 2026, we see that just 26% of people would agree that their pastor is these things. So I think for all of us, we could say we lack people we can trust. We lack people that we know for sure are faithful to God. And so this is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, talking about Abel and how he was faithful to God in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things that are visible. And by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. I thought it was important to recap a little bit of last week's sermon, verse 1. Faith, assurance, or confidence in who God is and his promises, and living in obedience in light of that and knowing who he is. And so this morning we're focusing on Abel and what made him a man of faith. And we're going to learn three lessons from Abel. The first, faith leads to acceptance. The second, faith leads to righteousness. And the third, faith leads to legacy. First stop this morning, faith leads to acceptance. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. There's not a lot in Genesis about the difference of the offerings that the brothers brought to God. Scholars make all sorts of guesses. What made Abel's offering more acceptable to God than Cain's? We know Abel had an animal sacrifice. Cain had a vegetable offering. But Hebrews 11 gives us the answer. We don't need a guess. Abel acted in faith. Cain did not. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. So we see here, it doesn't matter just what we do, but why we do it. The heart posture we're bringing as we're doing things. We don't know if Abel worked much harder than Cain for his offering. We don't know if God told them that this was a specific way to bring your offering to God. There's a lot we don't know. But remember verse 6 that we learned last week in Hebrews 11, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it is possible. Both brothers' blood, sweat, and tears over the offerings that they brought, and one was acceptable and one was not. It's possible both brothers worked their whole life for this offering and one wasn't acceptable. And it's possible we can outwardly look like we are following God, putting in all the effort, say all the right things, look the right way, do good deeds, but inwardly lack faith while doing them. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without trusting in who he is, believing in his promises, and then living in light of that, it is impossible to please him. Scripture is teaching us the way our offering or our works is pleasing to the Lord is when we have faith. And I remember that. Claire and I, when we first started dating, well, her family still lives there, but in Maple Ridge. And that's a weird place if you live there. I'm so sorry. I'm kidding. But it felt very far away when we first started dating. I couldn't remember being in Maple Ridge before that. And so the first time, it was Valentine's Day, she sent me her address and I wanted to go drop something off. So I typed her address into Google Maps. I'm like, wow, you have to cross a bridge to get there. What is this? It was only half an hour away. It wasn't that bad. But what did I do? I trusted Google Maps would get me to her house. And so when Google Maps told me to go left, guess which way I went? Right. No, I'm kidding. Left. And when it told me to go straight, guess where I went? Oh, come on, guys. This is Youth Sunday. When it told me to go straight, where did I go? I went straight. Yeah, exactly. Why? Because I didn't know where I was going, but I knew Google Maps, it would get me there. Okay, silly analogy. But this is the heart of what faith looks like. Doing our actions in full trust in God. Doing our actions in full belief in who he is. Knowing everything will work out for his good and his glory. This is the heart. This is the trust that made Abel's offering accepted. A heart that trusted God. But I know who I'm talking to this morning. It's a beautiful sunny Sunday morning. And you guys all came to church. Good job. But some of us in this room, we don't feel like we lack faith. Many of you have came, this is the second or third or fourth time you've come to church this week. Many of you give your money to church. Many of us would claim to be people of faith. This text reminds us, though, The most important thing about all those actions is the heart behind it. So where is your heart at as you came to church this morning, as you're serving and giving? Is it one of deep confidence and trust in God, or are you serving out of routine habit? It's the right thing to do. It's good for my kids. Where's your heart? When you're at work and you're working hard, is it for God's glory, being faithful to him there, knowing you're ultimately working for him? Or are you seeking man's approval, or to just get a paycheck, or just to go on by? Are you filled with knowing that one day you will have a reward? Knowing that God has a plan for you when you can't see it? Being content in the stage of life he's placed you in today? Abel is a reminder to us. Outwardly, all can seem fine, but God cares about your heart. So would we be a place and a people that live like Abel in full faith? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Second stop this morning, faith leads to righteousness. Verse 4 goes on to say, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. We saw in our first stop, Abel's faith made his offering acceptable to God. The second thing we learned this morning is that out of Abel's gift, out of his faith, he was commended or declared righteous. I love this, as it shows us two important things about faith. First, faith lets our works be acceptable to God. And second, faith not only pleases him, but it also leads to our salvation, our declaration of righteousness. You might hear this verse all series long this summer, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For by grace you've been saved through faith. What an amazing love God has. It's all about his grace and kindness, and then we get to trust in Christ's work. Here too, we see Abel declared righteous because of his faith. I love Pastor Rob's analogy of the chair last week, because I thought that was so practical for us. And so imagine if I got up here after singing was done and I said, you guys may have your seats, and then you all just stayed standing. I said, whoa, don't you trust that your chair is going to hold you? And you said, I do, but I'd rather just stand. I tell you, I don't know if you trust that chair. I don't know if I believe you. Why? Because true faith leads to action. A true faith in your chair holding you would lead to you all sitting. So, if you've been saved by grace through faith, through trust, our lives will be in alignment with God. Our lives will be lives of faith, of trust in God, of obedience to him, because trust leads to action. Faith leads to action. It's amazing. Abel, a sinner, declared righteous. Me and you sinners, who deserve eternity away from God by his grace through faith, declared righteous and justified. Will we realize what a gift salvation is and have faith in Christ's work for us on the cross? It must affect how we live. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so we trust in Christ's work, his goodness, we're declared righteous, and then that affects how we live. And we see this also play out in the story on the negative side. Look at Cain, a man who didn't have faith in his offering, didn't have faith in God. Abel, approved by God, had full faith. What does Cain do? Got angry and jealous. What's he end up doing? Murdering his brother. Continue to show us that who we are in our heart is reflected by our actions, what we really believe to be true. Now, it's easy for most of us in this room to say we've never murdered our brother. Remembering what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, though, in Matthew 5. You've heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. And so therefore, none of us are better off in our hearts than Cain. We're sinners. Faith is important because we realize that when we do sin and fall short, the reason for this is because we didn't believe enough. We didn't have enough faith. Did you truly believe in that moment that God was holy and just and pure, and did you clearly see how gracious and kind he has been to you? It came down to not believing that enough, trusting that enough. Faith declares us righteous, and genuine faith leads us to pursuing righteousness. Through Hebrews 11, we will see the men and women who have faith. It's not that they're perfect. Only Jesus was. But the men and women of faith see that they are righteous and justified before a holy God, and then passionately try and serve and live out that belief. And there is a result of that there is a seriousness of sin in their life when they sin. It is not a passive effort. There is an identity shift of viewing yourself a new creation, that I am righteous. And so this week, as you reflect, were you obedient to the Lord? Not that any of us can reply that we were perfect. But are we fighting sin and passionately pursuing to bring glory to God in our life? Is our lives every week, the trajectory we are going on, moving closer and closer to getting more to what he wants us to be holy as he is holy? Those of us with faith in Christ's work must be moving closer. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. 1 John here is not preaching to us a false gospel. It's not saying our works save us. Rather, it teaches us those who have seen what Christ has done and have faith in that will continue to love the things of God and hate the world. And so the call for us this morning is to live as people who are declared righteous because we are. Third stop we'll make this morning, faith leads to legacy. End of verse 4 says, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. There's a study done in February this year reflecting on the prompt, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? So since this is Youth Sunday, I thought I would get a youth study. They said, number one importance would be living a healthy lifestyle. Second was achieving a good education. The third was giving back to the community. The fourth was carrying on family traditions. And the fifth was generating wealth and being well-known or respected in their community. What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? I hear that list and I reflect on it. That's not so bad. Being healthy, educated, generous person. I think the question we have to ask out of this text this morning is, what kind of legacy do I trust will last? Will leave a kingdom impact? Right now, this morning, we're talking about Abel. Abel made it in Hebrews 11. He's the first one in our list of the men and women who are known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. That's some kind of legacy. Being one of the first human beings alive, being the first murdered man in history, to now being a person that us here in Cloverdale, British Columbia, are talking about thousands of years later. We don't know Abel's age when he died. We didn't know his hobbies, his passion, if he was extroverted or introverted. We don't know a lot about him. Yet we're learning from him this morning. And so you see, you can leave the kind of legacy that you were the healthiest person. You show those around you that they need to be strong and diet well. You can work hard, get all the education, the high school degree, the bachelor's degree, the master's, the PhD. You can even get your kids into the schools you always dreamed of. You can have so much wealth and even be generous with it and have a whole hospital wing named after you. You can generate so much wealth, your kids get everything they wanted. But Hebrews teaches us here, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what value are these things truly? Through Abel's faith, because of his faith, though he's dead, his passion of his life still goes on, that the call for us out of his life is now to be faithful to God, because he did it himself. And so what legacy will you leave behind? Is it that you are a man or woman that trusted in Christ's work and then lived every moment in light of that? That you loved your Bible and the word and above all just wanted to please God no matter what life brought you into? I love the story of George Mueller. If you don't know who he was, he was a man who lived in England in the 19th century and he cared for orphans until the day he died. And over his career, he cared for over 100,000 orphans. Just an amazing man. If you've not heard about him before, he was a person that decided that in his ministry field, he would never ask for financial help from others. He dedicated that he was going to trust that God would provide, and he was going to pray and ask the Lord, and the Lord would provide. Some days, he would go to bed and wouldn't have a penny in hand. And he had hundreds or thousands of kids in his care. He was also a pastor at the church multiple times a week teaching. This man had all the reason to be anxious. But there was this precious story of a farmer who lived in Bristol, which is the town that the orphanage was in. And one day he saw Mueller walking into the town. And he said, as he was going by, I saw him. And had I not known him, I would have said he was a gentleman of leisure and without any care in the world. He quietly walked, so peaceful, with calm demeanor. The 23rd Psalm just seemed to be written all over his face. The great pastor Charles Spurgeon was friends with him, and he said, he's a man of sweet peace and joy. But if I'm honest with you, I read the story of George Mueller and I think, George, but those kids gotta eat, man. Like, how are they gonna get their food? Okay, like, that's okay for you to have that conviction, but still the kids have to eat. But wow, does that show I have a lot of room to grow in my faith, my trust? George was clearly a man with such a rich and deep faith, such a trust in God. He knew who the Lord was, and he knew he'd provide, and he trusted, and he hoped, and he had faith. And even if they went a day without food, he knew that that was God's best. Why? Because he trusted. He didn't waver. And so men and women this morning, would this be us too? Though we feel the pressure of life, though life may not be easy, would we meet those pressures not with fleeting pleasures that the world has to offer or running to anxiety, but for us, the call this morning, would we meet those pressures of life with hope and trust and faith in our God? Not that this life will work out, not that this life will be easy, but we can hope. One day all will be restored and all will be made right, because we will be in front of King Jesus if we have faith in him. So the call for us this morning, would we become a family of men and women of faith? Would we leave a legacy not of people who didn't have problems and life was perfect and all was well, life was easy, but with the legacy we leave behind be people who served an incredible, sovereign, just, good, and loving God, and that we trusted him no matter what came. Abel and George Mueller and many others, and I hope you have them in your life, people that have lived a life of faith, and that's their legacy. What are you known for right now? Are you known for a man or a woman who has deep faith, deep trust? Even when there are tough seasons, life isn't easy. What do you find yourself longing for to spend the most time doing? What are your dreams of in the future? I love this in 2 Timothy 4. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to who have loved his appearing. We got one life to live for Christ. How will you use it? Call for us this morning to be like Abel. Have faith. Have a trust in God. The storms will come. You might be in one this morning. But look to God. Trust and hope in him and his promises. And I have three questions for you as we close this morning. First, are you walking in faith? As we said in the beginning, where's your heart at? Are you serving the Lord with a deep trust in who he is? If you are, you'll also be looking for every opportunity to serve him, because as verse 6 teaches us, he rewards those who serve him in faith. So where's your heart at this morning? Serving your children as they get ready for school, when your sibling needs the front seat on the way to school, when you make your wife breakfast, when you're at work, what is your heart in these actions? Are you just surviving the day, trying to get to that next vacation, trying to get to summer vacation? Or are you looking at every day serving the Lord and knowing in faith you could impact eternity through his spirit today and trusting whatever he has for you that day? And even if it's hard, what will come, knowing he is with you and he has a purpose. It's easy for every one of us to get caught in the pressures of life. We need to chase after the next thing, gain somebody's approval. But would we be men and women of faith to the core of who we are, out of everything we do, serving and loving and pursuing holiness, abiding in Christ, out of our faith, out of our trust in who he is? Second question this morning, have you been saved by faith? Faith is such a gift. Precious gift to me, because I get to have a faith in Christ's goodness instead of my own. I don't have to wonder if one day, did my good outweigh the bad? Did I do enough? No. I know there's nothing I can do to earn or deserve my salvation, but I have faith, not on my own goodness, not on my own good works, but in what Christ did for me. He lived the perfect life, took on sin for my sake. And we learned this morning that all you need to be declared righteous is to have faith. Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith. See God's grace, see the price that was paid for you. Recognize your amazing Savior, his amazing love and kindness and mercy. And reflect this morning, have I been living a life of faith? Have I been living like I actually trust this? Have faith in that, in the reality, in the truth. Have faith that one day when you will die, you will be with your King. Have faith that one day Jesus will return, and have faith that one day all will be made new. Have faith that God is using every challenge in your life, moment and hardship to draw you closer to him. And have faith you don't need to earn your salvation, but you get to trust in Christ's work for you. If you have faith in these things, you will live a life that passionately pursues righteousness. It has to show. Final question this morning. What legacy are you leaving? Abel this morning, not the most complex man that we know of. Not tons we know about him. Truthfully, not even tons to build a sermon around, it felt like at times. He had 8 verses in Genesis about him. But why talk about him? Why does his legacy go on? He was a man of faith. What are you known for? Are you known for someone who loves Jesus? Seeing what Christ has done for you? Passionately building his kingdom wherever you go? Are you leaving the legacy to your family, friends, and community that one that will be lasting for Christ, that will impact eternity, that is valuable? Or, like me at times, are you too busy building your kingdom here today, chasing after legacy and things that will pass on and will not last, will not make an eternal difference? This morning, as we go out of this place, you have to choose. What do I want to leave behind? In March of 2020, we were in Dallas, Texas, and on a Sunday morning, we heard a powerful sermon. The message was encouraging us to run the race with endurance, to leave a legacy behind like Abel's, of faith. That evening, we had a call that my grandfather had passed away. A man I loved, but I learned two lessons from that. First is a lesson on life is fragile. We don't know when our time is. And the second, to live every second in Christ's strength, to live a life of faith. Unfortunately, he was a man that would be described by his family with regrets, wishing he did, would have reconciled the situation or did better or... Today, this morning, would this be our wake-up call to live the rest of our lives, whatever the Lord gives us, as men and women of faith? Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Many of you, like me, walked in this morning feeling weary, faint-hearted, tired, or stressed. But let me remind you, this is the life we get to make an impact for all of eternity. Would we not waste it? Would we throw away everything in our weight, any weight or sin that clings so closely? Would we run with endurance? If I started running, I'd get tired pretty quick. Except if I had the perfect motivation. Jesus, looking to him, remembering what he endured for my sake so that I could be his child. And so the legacy you want to set today in the future starts when you walk out those doors. My encouragement to you, though the temptation to pass on riches and wealth and education and experiences is there, and some of those may not be all bad, first, pass on and encourage others to be like Abel, to be men and women of faith. Would Cloverdale Baptist and the people in it be known for people who need God's grace every day and by it and through faith we're saved? And would we do everything in faith, everything out of a trust in God, and then one day be rewarded greatly for it? So in this life, family, run with endurance. Don't look at others for your motivation. Look at Christ. He is your motivation. What our legacy? Be one that doesn't first pursue treasures of this life, but one that makes lasting, eternal kingdom-building impact. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for Abel this morning. We We thank you that he was a man that had faith in you. Father, the call for us this morning is to follow in Abel's example and live a life of faith. Trust you for our salvation, and then serve every day in light of that. Lord, would we do that well? Give us endurance. Father, would the people in this church be known for a legacy first and foremost, for being men and women who trusted in you, in your goodness, in your graciousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.